CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, you made it to Friday, which is excellent news. The weekend lies ahead and spring is just around the corner. It's a good day. It's also my birthday, and we will say no more about that for the rest of the show. Thank you very much. Thank you to all the people who left comments. That's it. We're done. Excellent. So, Leanne will be joining us in a short while. Ben, obviously, still in Australia, and we've got some special guests coming on a little bit later, too. Looking forward to speaking to one of them in particular, a friend of mine called Shamila, who is a South African actress. She is amazing. She's appeared in plenty of local and international productions, and she's just been nominated for an award, so I thought good idea to have her on, even though it's a little bit of nepotism, you know, but it's worthwhile celebrating people who are doing extremely good things and who are doing them very well. So we're going to have her on later on. I don't know if you noticed yesterday, there was a big story in the news, and this is really the kind of starting point for this morning's little monologue. I noticed that AfriForum had taken Julius Malema to court, the Equality Court, to try and figure out whether he was guilty of hate speech. And famously yesterday, they lost that case, which means, and I believe they're taking it on appeal, but it means essentially that Julius Malema and his supporters were not guilty of hate speech for saying kill the Boer. So I say that again so that we're 100% clear. You can say kill the Boer, or I could say kill whoever, and I would not be guilty of hate speech. Interesting, right? So, I was not really worried about which way this case went, and I'll explain why in a minute. But a lot of things in South Africa get everybody very, very wound up. So, even though it's no politics Friday, and even though I take this first half hour to talk about whatever it is that week in the news that has made me think the most, the story that grabbed my attention was this one, because I myself have been wrapped up in situations of free speech and people getting confused between hate speech and offensive speech all the time. The basic rule is that hate speech is saying something offensive about a particular group of people and then calling other people to action in inciting violence. So it's a very specific, very narrow definition. You don't get that definition right, it isn't hate speech. So what happened in court, obviously the judge decided based on this evidence, and AfriForum have their problems with this, obviously, they are not going to find Julius guilty of saying kill the Boer and being therefore guilty of hate speech. In other words, I mean, in some ways I'm really happy about this finding, because what it means is I could be as rude about anyone as I like. I can even say I'd really love if someone just killed them. I could even sing a song about it, and I would not be guilty of hate speech. This is a new precedent. This is going to really upset people on the left who say, for example, that words are violence, because here you're saying kill some group of people who are a culturally, ethnically defined group of people, and yet you're not guilty of hate speech. So I think that's great, because it means every South African can say what's on their mind at any given time, even if it's completely unacceptable, and you can't be found guilty of hate speech. And you could say it on social media. Now, this is a much lower standard in terms of, you know, like general politeness than social media will allow. So you'll probably be banned from most of the platforms for saying this. But isn't it interesting that if AfriForum don't win their appeal, this is the new standard? You can go out there and you can be as bigoted, as racist as you like. I mean, in some ways, it's a relief, right? It means I can say, for example, X, Y, and Z about women or about gay people or about black people or about white people or about Afrikaans people or about the Chinese. And you can't say, oh, that's hate speech, which is what a lot of people have been saying up to now whenever anything offensive was said. They don't seem to understand what hate speech is. Now, I don't know that this judge got it right either, but I don't care. This is good news for anyone who likes to say what they feel. I'm not a big fan of the idea that there is hate speech. I think, of course, if you incite people to violence, that shouldn't really be a part of the law. You shouldn't be protected when you're inciting violence. But isn't saying kill the boer, I mean, how much more blatant do you want it to be? And if the judge doesn't think that's hate speech and that isn't inciting violence, because inciting violence is a part of the definition of hate speech, then you're not being insightful, so you're not being hateful, so it's not hate speech. I mean, people will argue being hateful, but the definition of hate speech doesn't include kill the boer anymore, according to the Equality Court. Okay, cool. And if AfriForum go ahead and win their appeal, and let's say they decide at the Constitutional Court, all the judges decide, oh, no, this is hate speech, and he is guilty of hate speech. Well, then it's a very well-defined concept. Then basically, if you say kill X, Y, and Z, and the judges feel that that is an incitement to violence, then you will have to pay a fine or go to jail. But you see, hate speech isn't a crime. And this is a very important factor that people seem to not understand in this country. Hate speech is not a crime. It is not a criminal thing. It's certainly an offense. You can say that you've crossed the boundaries of decency, but it is not a technically defined crime. What is a crime is if you are found guilty of something and then you do it again, the court then says you're in contempt of court. That's a crime. So it gets very complicated, but I thought that was worth looking at. So for anyone who's interested in this stuff, and what can I say? I am. This is a really interesting discussion. And I hope there's more to be discussed on this front, because a lot of people seem to be wandering around this country and the rest of the world thinking that hate speech is anything they don't like and anything that they find offensive, which it absolutely isn't. And if anything, this judgment by the Equality Court is even more of a high standard in terms of what hate speech needs to be. So, in other words, free speech won. And that doesn't necessarily upset me. So, just an interesting aside. Anyway, let's see what you have to say this morning. Let's get into some stuff. Here is the great and powerful Leanne Mole. Look, there she is on a Friday morning.
Ooh, powerful.
Great and powerful. How are you?
Yeah,
thanks. All right. Thanks.
Which basically means may the Lord spare many more years for you.
Spare them, yeah, because, you know, he's... Yeah, because it costs him something, right? When you say, kan jy dit spaar, it's like, can you save these years? Because obviously it's a bit of an effort for God to give you those extra...
Well, that's where spa came from.
You mean the shop? That's where it came from?
Yeah, the shop.
The shop. Do you collect those things from Checkers? Because apparently they're worth some money now.
No, I don't.
Those
but
little
I've seen
shop
people
things.
Making earrings out of them and brooches and things.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember that cake that Mabali and the girls made for me 1 year for my birthday? The Hoare Island cake. You remember it?
It was firstly by a very good baker.
Yes.
Who's still around, but yes, it was welcome to Hoare Island.
There we go. There it is. They made this, so it's an island, and then these five beautiful Polynesian women who are dancing around it.
You know, they're whores, really.
And they were...
It's a Hoare Island
cake. It's a Hoare Island cake, yeah. So, I mean, how exciting for me that this was my cake. Sikale cake. That was still my favorite birthday cake ever, the Welcome to Hoare Island cake. And someone sent it to me yesterday and said, do you remember this? In fact, no. Hang on. What happened was that Facebook, which has always got the best memory of all of us, the Facebook reminder came up and said to me, this is on your birthday X number of years ago. All right.
Have you had the moment where Facebook brings up like a period where you were with an ex that you don't want to remember anymore?
Nah.
It's like a happy reminder.
No, I mean, I've got one or two pictures of exes up here. I don't mind that. Well, the two of them who I got along with. I still get along with them if I see them.
What do you mean up here and you're looking at them?
No, in my house. I mean, I've got like pictures of all kinds of people in my house. I got a picture of you somewhere. I've got you and the rest of the team when we were on that ship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a nice picture of all of us. So I've got pictures of everybody here. So I have got one or two pictures of that's in my house. So why would he be upset if it came up on Facebook? You know,
I don't have any pictures of exes in my house.
Yeah, well, that's because all your relationships have ended badly. That's why.
Very badly. It's like big X marks the spot. Get out of there. Right. Do not go back.
Some people make dartboards out of their exes. Did you know that? Uh-huh.
No, I do worse things like report them for bad driving. And
oh, God, do you do that? Are you vicious and cruel about these kinds of things?
I've done it once before. Only because they had their car registered in my name.
Oh, right.
And I was still receiving their fines. So I reported them.
That's so mean. That is so mean. I remember that when we were kids, my mom and her best friend, one of their friends, their female friends, the husband left them for another woman. And these two, my mother and her friend, were so mean. They were like, oh, we're going to put snakes in her postbox. We're going to go and dump horse shit on her front lawn. They had all these plans of all the mean things that, not her, the other woman, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, not their friend.
Fish sticks into their curtains.
Sew them into the curtains. Yeah, exactly. That was they had plans and they would sit there like in a coven and they'd come up with these plans and like they'd laugh and think it was the funniest thing ever. And their husbands would just go, oh, no, these women are so mean.
There are a lot of cases now where the exes are still signed in onto the exes' Netflix accounts.
Yeah.
And what they do is they go in and they delete all of the things that they were watching before.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, that is so mean-spirited.
Watch them until the end. It shows up as watched already.
The funny thing is I'm not bothered by the Facebook memories that bother me are the ones that where I think, wow, you know, you were so angry about that stupid thing. Like I would have been cross about something that happened in politics in like 1999 that's before Facebook, but let's say 2009. And like now I can't even remember what it was. And then there'll be this Facebook update or something.
Enviable.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll look at that and go, oh, what a stupid thing to get upset about. That's where I'll get annoyed.
Yeah. That's enviable.
Otherwise it's fine.
I've had something happen just this week.
Hmm.
Where I had a one-off client where I needed to write a speech for her to say at her 21st, her child's 21st birthday.
Yeah.
And she's very well-to-do.
Yes.
I mean, if I start mentioning brands, you'll know that she's very well-to-do.
Wow.
And sent her a quote. She paid a deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And then took her speech and reformed it, added in a whole lot of things. And I even went to go and visit her.
Yeah.
So that we could talk about her daughter's character and all the rest
of it. Wow, look at you. So this was like you were doing the hard work for her for her daughter's 21st birthday speech.
Yeah.
You were going to write it for her. Okay, good.
Also, the speech arrived on my computer, all in caps and, you know, short sentences, no punctuation.
Okay.
I reformed all of that. I made it because she thought a lot of it was funny, but it wasn't. So I reformed the speech to make it funny, to give some, you know, anticipation. And
you made it a speech instead of a whole bunch of like short, stupid sentences.
Yeah.
Right.
sent it to her and said, you know, this is a draft. Let's work together on this, etc. And she replied using the words disappointed, which are always a trigger for me.
Ooh.
I think you are only worth. She then sent a flurry of emails.
Wow. Without
giving me a chance to respond. So that my phone was still beeping continuously, and every time it beeped, it was her.
Oh my God, yes.
You only put in 10% of what 100% speech is.
Oof.
I'm only paying you 10%. As she then went on to deposit 500 rand into my account, which I wish was cash so that I could have thrown it back into her face.
What a bitch. What a terrible person. Okay, so let's just get this right, because I don't want to get any of the detail out. You've given us quite a lot of information here. This woman asks you, she's a rich, prominent person. She's asked you to write her speech for her daughter's 21st, because obviously she has no skill in writing speeches.
She's given me a lot of content, right?
Okay.
Let's not get that
wrong. All right. But then what you do is you tidy it up and you say, well, this is a first draft, but what I want to do is come and see you, talk about this a little bit, then I'll help you write some more. But this is a first. Okay. So this is a first draft. And you added a bunch of stuff as well. You tried to make it funnier, more interesting.
Yeah.
Again, she says, disappointed. And I'm only paying you a tenth of what you, because you're not worth more than that. Wow.
If I can tell you, I mean, you know, I'm a sensitive person.
Jesus, and how? Yeah. Did you cry?
I unraveled. I lost the plot.
Shame, Leanne. That's horrible. Oh my God.
It was really horrible. And the thing is, the person who usually does this job for her has recently had a stroke, and she's a family friend. So she's unable to perform this job for her. So I was covering for this person. So I now felt like I had let down the whole world.
Oh my God. But I mean, you know, to ask someone else to write the speech for your daughter's 21st, there's something wrong there. I don't care
it's
how busy.
It's such a personal thing.
It's such
really,
a personal.
Really horrible.
No one else can write the speech for your kid's birthday. No one. I mean, if you're asking a secretary to help you put that together, you've got big problems. I don't care how busy you are. Then rather just say to your daughter, I'll just say how much I love you and wish you a happy birthday, and then move away from the mic and let someone else say something. Right? So, I mean, not the greatest week for you then. Tracy says, ouch.
Horrible. It set me off on a really good, really, really bad path.
Tracy says, ouch, ouch. Once, only once happened to me. Couple from Poland booked a midday photo shoot in the middle of summer in Franschhoek. Afterwards, they were disappointed because their baby didn't smile.
Sorry, Tracy.
So she says it was the middle of summer. Their baby had to be woken from the midday nap, had a feed in the middle of it, and was expected to smile. Move on, smile and wave. It's them, not you. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good advice. Yeah.
When I was unraveling, I called my brother, who is my closest friend.
Mm.
And he said, yeah, and just remember, this is business.
Don't,
as hard as it is, try not to take it personally.
Yeah, you can't help it though. And also, like, writing is one of the things you actually do pretty well. So for someone to say that to you, that's quite insulting.
Stunning.
You kind
really
of feel
stunning.
You start to question your own abilities and your own worth, right?
Maybe I should put it out there. Just two things.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be litigious. Oh, by the way, she said, I'm not going to use anything that you adjusted.
Uh huh.
I'm going to say my speech and I'm going to record it so that you cannot sue me for plagiarism.
Wow, she thinks you're going to sue her?
I was like...
This woman has... She sounds like a real narcissist, and I mean in the true definition of that word.
I mean,
and
we
Ethan says the same thing.
Up until the point happened.
That.
She personally said, let's meet, let's talk about... Gave the nickname of the daughter.
Yeah.
And let's be friends. Met her little dog, asked her what the breed was, said, I'm in the market for a new dog. And then just turned. It was so ouchy.
What a nasty person. You know, they're just some shitty people out there. They really are just shitty people, just like there are really lovely people.
Yeah.
I mean, I met someone the other day who's just so full of happy, positive energy. And I thought, what a lovely human being this girl is. She's just happy all the time and makes people around her smile and asks how everybody else is and doesn't complain about a thing. But what a nice person. And then you get people like this. They're just curmudgeonly and bellicose, ugly. They're ugly on the inside. Kind of, you know.
It influences the way that you judge other people as you continue on in life, you know? And then, if I may,
mm-hmm.
I've been, you know, I moved from my home.
Yes, sure.
I actually my home was sold, except not sold in the full term.
What?
So somebody, well, the landlord, I mean, the estate agent found somebody who could pay occupational rent. This mm-hmm. person was guaranteed to get a home loan, etc. Yeah. It was a business.
Yeah.
In fact, he is a transfer attorney.
Okay.
He does evictions. He's like an eviction specialist when it comes to law.
Mm-hmm.
So I fully trusted the process and allowed him in. It's been 7 months that he's been paying me occupational rent without being approved for a home loan, which is against what my deal was.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out his home loan yesterday was not approved.
Oh, God.
Because he has judgments against him from his wife, who's currently unemployed, and he's not paying maintenance
in other words,
and all of this sort of thing.
You haven't sold the property, but this guy he has been paying you occupational rent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then there's no loss. You can just sell it. You can try again to sell it. You know,
I can, but I probably won't get the full amount that he offered.
Oh, no, you won't
also,
get what he offered.
He hasn't maintained the property.
Oh, no. Oh, you see, this is a problem. Yeah, this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
This is awful.
It's been a shit week, Gareth.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You made it to Friday, Leanne, and you haven't killed yourself yet, so everything's okay. Jesus. Listen, if you think you're having a shit week, someone here asked, and maybe you will know this. Leanne, please give us a roundup of what's happening with Lee Thompson, The Bachelor. There have been some crazy developments since last week.
Ooh.
Yeah, someone wanted to know, and I actually just Googled this. Apparently, there was a U Magazine thing about him. He's homeless. Yes. That was, let me just find the story. Friends and family fly into action to get homeless bachelor SA's Lee Thompson into rehab. Apparently, he's homeless.
What?
Mm-hmm. And apparently, he looks like a homeless person, too. That's what people are saying. For the second time.
I'm so shocked. I'm almost speechless.
Yeah. Last week, the former reality TV star was photographed on the streets of Cape Town City Center following reports that he's homeless. This after he was allegedly evicted from a guest house in the CBD. According to U Magazine, the ex-Sharks rugby player's room was found littered with condoms and alcohol bottles. The star also has broken into his room to start a fire after his eviction.
Jesus.
So you know what, Leanne? You might have had a shit week.
Wow.
But you haven't had that kind of week.
I'm so embarrassed after sharing my woes.
I know. So speaking to the U Magazine, a close acquaintance of his who requested to remain anonymous claims that he had a history of asking female admirers for money. She said, he asked women who he knew who fancied him for money. I watched him in action. I spent time with him. I don't wish him any ill. I think it's sad. She added he was on drugs on and off. The people he was dealing with all thought it was very exciting to be around The Bachelor. His problems go back to way before he was on Bachelor South Africa. You remember we spoke to him about that book that he was going to do?
Yes.
And I'm sure some people even put a deposit down in that book. Well, it's been described as a scam. It was a way to get money out of Mnet, apparently. She added, I think the whole book idea was a way to get money out of Mnet when they weren't going to settle with him. Mnet gave him the high life, dating beautiful women. The outcome was not what he had expected. He may have felt a bit bitter about that and decided to try a tell-all book deal.
Yeah, because he was very tell-all, even though he'd signed a contract.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard things about The Bachelor after being part of the Bachelor Nation for so long.
Yes, you were. You were a big fan.
That I'd never heard before from him.
Unreal, right? Oh. So you've had a horrible. So you've had a horrible week, but you haven't had that bad a week.
Nah, I feel so much better.
Jesus, I'll tell you what. There are going to be a lot of celebrities. Especially these social media stars who we're going to read stories about in the forthcoming years about how they've fallen from grace because this there's no no preparation around this stuff for someone who's young and impressionable and grew up in the social media age. There's no prep. Like when we did radio and television in the early days that our careers were in, you know, there were PR departments and there were agents and managers and there were people who could look after that stuff for you. Now, you could become an overnight star on TikTok for doing like reaction videos. And you get addicted to the fame and people start paying attention to you in ways that you're not used to. It goes to your head. And when it starts going backwards, which it can do very easily, you know, it could be drugs, could be your own like ego. It could be making enemies of the wrong people. All kinds of things can happen in a career. And then you fall from grace and there's nothing to save you. There's no parachute that you can let loose.
Yeah.
And then you fall apart. I mean, it gets really bad.
Remember how much celebrity status changed during COVID when they weren't able to produce any more or present from their studios and they were doing it from their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically became online stars instead of on screen.
Yep.
And other people overtook them.
Yeah.
Just normal people.
That's right. And
they became nothing.
For a lot of them,
Ellen
it was
generous.
Yeah. For a lot of them, it was extremely disheartening. You know, you get used to a certain level of attention. You've got all these people running around you, and then suddenly you have to do this thing from home in front of one camera. And, you know, people are like, oh, is that all it is? You're not so great after all. Because let's be honest, a lot of people don't have a lot of substance and content behind why they might be famous.
Yeah, they have writers doing everything for them.
Right. Right. Well, writers like better than you, obviously, because you're useless and you disappoint people.
I'm only work 10% of the time.
Good for you. Put that middle finger up. Yeah. Screw her. Vyasin says that this whole Lee Thompson story sounds like the start of a porno. Rich lady from Camps Bay finds him and cleans him up and bang, end of story. Oy, oy, oy. Yeah. Carlos says the book he panted in your show was probably apparently bullshit. Yep. They should do a follow-up on him. A lot of people. I don't know if it's that interesting. I think we can all see where this is going, right?
Oh, it's so awkward.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know about your property thing, but there are lots of people giving advice there on that front too. I mean, Marty's saying.
Yeah, guys, people giving advice, thank you, but I've been there and done that.
Spoken to lawyers. You've figured it out, and
you're between with really good lawyers,
but you're between a rock and a hard place. It's not going to get easier for you.
The thing is, what's interesting is that my lawyers, who are lifetime, in fact, they're my dad's lawyers, so they've dealt with everything. They're the same lawyers that I farted in front of. Remember that story?
God. No, remind me. Remind me. During, I don't remember
during
that.
During one of my property transfers, you know, there are thousands, before COVID, there are thousands of papers that you need to sign and you have to go to their offices.
Yes.
And I had this pile of papers and I had everything in order, all the papers they needed. And I was in a tiny room with a tiny table.
Yeah.
And the attorney was seated right next to me. Licking fingers and turning pages.
And when you signed, it went. It went. Yeah, right, got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each page. And then she said to me, I just need your proof of blah, blah. And I went, oh, I've got that. And it was in my laptop bag. And I bent down and went. Came up, pretended I was finding the information on my phone, opened up my phone, which was already open on a game. So when I opened it, it was going. And I went, okie dokie. So.
Oh, my God.
I have the information.
Oh, man.
So embarrassed. I phoned my dad afterwards, literally from the car park, and said to him, Dad, we have to stop using these lawyers. Because I just farted in this woman's face, basically.
And it was a small room.
Tiny, so tiny. I mean, I farted on her lap, basically. And I remember.
Was it very loud?
I told the story.
Was it very? Was it like a loud?
Because
you get huge. You get noisy ones, and you get less noisy ones, right? Oh, geez.
There was no mistaking.
Oh.
As I compressed my stomach. Oh while no! Down.
Oh my God!
I remember when I told the story.
Like that?
When I told the story, someone phoned in and said. You should have sat up, bolt upright, and said, "Now you."
Boy,
it was huge.
Oh, so disgusting. Have you ever walked past somebody and realized that they must have farted, thinking no one else was going to walk past them? And then you walk into the waft as you go past me. You're like, whoa, Jesus. You know, where did this happen?
I'm the person who's always done the fart.
Yeah.
Has that happened to you?
It happened in a corridor somewhere. I was walking. I don't know if it was in a shopping center or in an office building. I can't even remember where it was. I just remember these. It was quite tight. There wasn't a lot of space. And clearly this person was coming from, she was coming from quite a long way down the corridor, right? She was walking towards me. And then when she was about, she must have dropped the fart probably about a meter and a half, 2 meters before she even got to me. But by the time she'd gone past me and I went a little bit further, I realized that's where it was. And it hit me like a brick wall. It was like really foul. And I thought, what a horrible fart for such a small, nice-looking girl to have left here. She obviously thought that – she didn't think that I was going to –
Nice-looking girls shouldn't fart.
No, hell no. I mean, I don't mind if a great, big, monstrous troll of a person drops a fart.
With you can't, beard.
You kind of expect that from an ugly girl, you know? So, I mean, I don't know what to make of it, but I was really disturbed. I just thought very poor form of her to do this. I was very disappointed in her. And – I did turn around, but by then she'd scuttled off. She started walking a lot faster, I think, as soon as she knew what she'd done.
With her hands behind her bum.
Probably, trying to waft it out of the way. That's horrible. You want to see what she looked like? Do you want to see what she looked like?
Yeah.
I have a picture. Well, it's not of her, but it's someone who looks a bit like her. So maybe it'll give you an idea. In fact, I was on one of the dating apps the other day and I saw her, so that I decided I'd screenshot it.
You just skipped over that.
No, I'm kidding. I'm not on a dating app. But someone sent this to me. So this is Anna, who's 30, who was found on a dating app the other day. Anna is a non-binary trans woman.
If you're real, I'm sorry.
She's got a big moustache. She's got big jowls. She's got a Hitler haircut, glasses. Quite obese, but it says in the description, I am a non-binary trans woman looking to date woman, not women. I practice ENM. What's that?
Just one woman.
What's ENM? Do you know?
ENM.
Google it. And my husband knows about it. Anna's got a husband, okay, and she's on the dating app. I work two jobs and I live with my husband and puppies. I'm a high-functioning Aspie, so that's Asperger's, right? So I may be socially awkward at the beginning. Once I warm up to you, it's less noticeable. Before we even get to demisexual and neurodivergent, let's just hang on. I need to figure. So a trans woman means this is a man who's transitioned into a woman.
Yes.
Okay. So that's just the first The first term is non-binary. I still don't know what that means, so we're just going to breeze past it, like whistle past the graveyard.
Meaning trans woman. I flit between.
I'm neither male nor female, but I'm calling myself a trans woman. So I kind of like to place my bets more on one side than the other. So she's really trying to sound more interesting than she probably is. Anyway. So I'm a non-binary trans woman looking to date women. ENM. Do you know what it is?
ENM. Consensual non-monogamy.
Oh, so that's why she...
Ethical non-monogamy.
Okay. Ethical non-monogamy.
So
in other words...
It's the practice of non-monogamous intimate or sexual relations.
That's why she says...
distinguished from individual...
That's why she says she has a husband. Her husband knows about it. So in other words, she's in one of those marriages where she... It's an open marriage and she practices what she calls ethical non-monogamy. So she, I'm trying to be respectful here, can also date other people while she's in a relationship with this husband. I work two jobs. I wonder what those are. Can you imagine working with this person, how you have to tread on eggshells? Hi, Anna. You don't ask her, how's your husband? You don't say, how was your day? You don't ask her about her puppies because God alone knows she's going to find something to get upset about. So you go, hey, Anna, and you get the hell out of this woman's way. Not only because she will crush you, but also because she's probably got loads of things to get upset about if you say something wrong. I'm high-functioning Aspie, so she's also got Asperger's, so she may be socially awkward at the beginning. God, imagine how I'm going to feel around her. Once I warm up to you, it's less noticeable. Well, I long for that day, Anna.
Oh, well, yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, and she's on this
Can't
app.
Wait
she's
for
clearly,
that moment
she's clearly,
of our relationship.
She's on a dating app, so she wants this. Demisexual. Is that the one? I forget these definitions. Demisexual is the one where you have to know someone for a long time before you can be attracted to them. Am I right? Jesus, this is complicated.
Demisexuality is a sexual orientation.
Okay.
In which my phone's Afrikaans. In which an individual does not experience sexual attraction with another person until they've developed emotional connection.
All right. So she has to be really emotionally
intimate. How hard is it going to be to develop an emotional connection with
you? You think it's going to be hard to develop an emotional connection with her? Imagine developing a sexual one. I don't know. I don't know where that... So she's saying, look, I know you want to bang me. I know that's all you're thinking about is, and I'm keeping the picture up here, so you keep looking if you're on YouTube.
Yeah.
I know you want to bang my brains out.
Stop wanking and read the words.
Because I'm so hot. But before we can do that, I really need to feel an emotional connection. And she's neurodivergent. Now, there's a word.
Okay. So, I didn't even know this, but I'm neurodivergent.
Oh, God, no, you're not. Bullshit you are.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
No, it's true. Bullshit. I don't identify as neurodivergent. I've been diagnosed.
What does it mean?
It means that I don't think the same way that other people think.
Oh, well, everybody thinks they're neurodivergent then.
Because I have ADHD.
Yeah.
And because I'm a depressive blah, blah. More on that on Monday with Dr. Hanan.
Leanne, you're not neurodivergent.
All neurodivergent means is that you're not the same as most people.
Well, nobody is. Everybody thinks they're different. I hate to break it to you, but neither you nor Anna are neurodivergent. And Anna,
I really don't care. Just go on.
No, I think we're finished with Anna because I don't know what to say to her. I mean, if I was swiping on one of these, this is why I don't go on these dating apps, because I would engage with that person. I would actually want it, like, I would be morbidly fascinated with someone like that, just because they're clearly so messed up and they're putting themselves out there. I mean, you got to admire the fact that this person is so messed up. You heard her own description of herself. I mean, you can imagine the description that you might have of her after 5 minutes in her company. But you've got to admire the fact that she's She's got all these problems and all these weird things going on in her head and in her life and in her body. And yet, she's like, time to hit the dating scene. That's amazing.
Have you seen that series, First Dates, I think it's called, where they match people up and then they film them in a restaurant? In fact, the whole restaurant is set up with people being on their first dates that have been set up.
Yeah.
Like good food, good drinks, all the rest of it. But can you imagine the conversation? Where would you start with her?
Well, someone like her would be there for the food. You can see by her picture. So I don't think you'd have to worry too much. She's not listening anyway. She'd start tucking in immediately and she'd slurp down her wine and hoof in her food and, you know, stomach would start to rumble and she'd need to go to the IBS. She'd need to go to the bathroom and you'd be sitting at the table most of the time on your own, just amusing yourself on your phone. There wouldn't be much of a date. I mean, I can promise you this bovine creature that we just put on the screen now is not interested in other humans. She's interested in you being interested in her, and she wants to eat. Those two things are always going to be true with Anna. In other words, Anna is happy if her stomach is busy. Now, I wouldn't even say full because that's not possible. If she's masticating and her mouth is moving, chewing food or just swallowing it all down, washing it down with, you know, just vast amounts of liquor, probably.
Much of feeding.
Yeah, you know, handfuls of antidepressants, and you're talking about her. That is her ideal date. That's what she would want. That's her thing.
So when do you want to go out? Friday?
I can't wait. That's what, you know what? I'm going to do it for my birthday today. I'm going to treat myself. I'm going out with her today. Ah, you thank you, Leanne. You've just given me the best possible birthday present.
The warped thing is that would be your ideal birthday present.
I know, and I'd come back with a great story on Monday. Well, it would be for five. I mean, in my head, it would be. So for like 5 minutes, it would be. But Jesus, I know I'd regret it immediately. I know I'd regret it, you know? Okay, time for us to get to some headlines. We're way behind schedule, but that's fine. So first of all, rent is getting very expensive anywhere in South Africa. People know this, but you will still find a few bargains in Gauteng, according to Business Insider. Apparently, South Africa's rental market has had tumultuous 2 years owing to the pandemic-induced financial pressures impacting both tenants and landlords. In 2021, the national rent growth rate was suppressed below 1% in every quarter, whereas pre-pandemic increases hovered close to 4%. Landlords across South Africa will be pleased to know that after almost 2 years of stagnation, quarterly year-on-year rental growth has been positive throughout 2022, with the national average rising to 2.6% at the end of June. And since you now own a property that you thought you'd sold, Leanne, that makes you a landlord. So good news. But amid the rising costs of South Africa, adding further financial pressure on tenants' pockets, some in the residential rental sector worry about an increase in non-payment and lower growth rates over the next year. The moving average trend line shows a clear upward trend. And then they go on to talk about blah, 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 blah. Rentals in Gauteng sit on the other end of the growth scale with a 0.1% decline in the first quarter and a meager 0.3% increase in the second quarter. That's the lowest out of all the provinces. So rental everywhere else is probably better than it is in Gauteng, which is interesting. And they say there's still some bargains around, but you really have to shop around for a long time to find a good rental property if you're looking to rent at the moment. So I'm not sure if that was even a useful article, Business Insider, or if it was worth me mentioning to you, but there it is. All right. There was a python that measured 3.5 meters and weighed 40 kilograms. It's perfect for Anna.
Jeez.
Yeah, and a vet had to help this python. So most people would obviously recoil in horror, including me, at the sight of a 3.5 meter long python that weighs in at 40 kilograms. But
I mean, I weighed that in my trick.
But Nada de Villiers is a vet at the Bloberg Animal Clinic in Limpopo. And she sprang into action when the injured reptile, the biggest she'd ever seen, was brought into the clinic. Her mouth was tied with a wire that pierced through her flesh so she couldn't bite.
The vet?
No. No, the snake, you idiot. And the snake also had two wounds on its head. A pair of local snake experts brought the snake to her after rescuing it from an animal smuggler in a nearby township. Oof, this poor snake. I mean, if you see the injuries, it's horrible. Anyway, Jan and Frick, who worked with the police, posing as buyers to trap the suspect, who was swiftly arrested, brought the python in. It was injured, dehydrated, and in shock. On the second day of her recovery, the python became quite perky, says Nada, the vet. It was a privilege to work with her because most people don't understand snakes. After being discharged from the clinic, the python moved into Jan's house to recuperate. Isn't that nice of Jan?
Oh, that's so nice of Jan.
Yeah.
And Jan and Frick remind me of those two Irishmen who came across a pile of shit and couldn't figure out what it was. And they did that thing where, does it smell like shit? Does it look like shit? Does it taste like shit?
Oh, yeah.
They were probably the same with the snake.
Is it the slung?
Are it the snake? Look it like a snake? Eat a snake.
Well, good for, I got to say, this is a nice story because though I don't like pythons, I don't like any kind of reptiles, it's good that there are people who care for these animals. And good for Jan and Frick and Nada. How nice of them. Isn't that great?
I hope Nada's jaw feels better now.
Yeah. I hope that Nada's jaw has got nothing wrong with it, Leanne. It was the python's jaw that had wire in it.
Oh, sorry.
Just to reiterate. All right, so I know you didn't get a huge settlement out of your divorce, but a Gauteng man just had to pay his ex-wife 2.2 million rand for a divorce back in 1995. Huh?
That was so last century.
I know, but isn't this amazing? So, Judge Adams at the Gauteng High Court pointed out a man had essentially failed to routinely make payments on his divorce settlement after officially parting ways with his wife in 1995. As per the judgment of divorce, the man was obligated to fork out monthly maintenance of 750 rand, as well as contribute to her education. This is all the way back in 1995. So, in addition, he was obliged to foot the bill for her medical and dental costs. According to his ex-wife, his financial obligations had come to little over 230,000 rand, and the man failed to remain in consistent payment. For instance, in 2004, he paid a total of just over 28,000 rand as opposed to the 70,000 rand that she had expected of him. So, what did the judge do? He said, you're getting 2.2 million rand. So the ex-wife is entitled to all his assets unless he settles the massive bill. Boom.
Wow.
So you should go back. Wow. You should go back and check on all those payments.
Yeah, I need it. Where are my files?
Just don't bend over and fart when you're picking them up, please. Especially in front of the lawyer. Great.
I actually got a really good settlement out of my divorce.
Oh, good. Well done. Okay, well then, make sure all of it was paid. So apparently TikTok is going to try something a little more personalized. And we know by that it means more creepy, more invasive, more dangerous. And people are going to love it because people are morons. So apparently TikTok is going to add something called Nearby up to the top of their feed. So you'll get following and for you, and you'll get Nearby, Leanne. And Nearby is going to have, of course, they make it start off by sounding really innocuous and, you know, kind of benign. They'll start off by saying, oh, you can find local restaurant recommendations and neighbors and neighbors and neighbors. Now suddenly you're going to click on TikTok and you're going to end up seeing like your neighbors making dumb dance videos. And that's at the low end. Oh, yes. And you know what's going to happen.
I mean, there are some TikTok lives that are so creepy to start with.
Right.
To think that they might be happening next door would blow my mind.
Yep. So now you're going to be able to use the Nearby function. Well, they've rolled it out in Southeast Asia. They've started it there. And they're testing this feature. We're always thinking about new ways to bring value to our community and enrich the TikTok experience. So excited. The new feed was reported in a tweet by social media consultant Matt Navarra. And according to TikTok themselves, they're going to allow you to find things that are happening around you that may be of interest. So they'll take your geolocation and whatever's happening in that area, they'll give you access to. You could go, ooh, look, my neighbors. I wondered what they did every night at 8:30. Now I can see they eat live snakes. Right. Mm-mm. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Not into it.
Well, give yourself time. You said that you weren't going to go into TikTok, and look at you. You're a big fan. Right.
That's for sure.
Horrible. Congo Chris says, I'm considering getting TikTok now just so I can use Nearby to avoid people who go on TikTok. That's a good idea. You basically can then block. Yeah, yeah, that's a good plan. You can block those people in real life as opposed to blocking them on the app.
Yeah.
That's not a bad.
You can actually build, you can build a literal fence.
Mm-hmm.
Literal. Oh.
I was talking to Pumi yesterday about great inventions, you know, the kinds of things that we would love to have in our lives, you know, like a cancer cure, a hangover cure, being able to beam from
away.
One place to another. Oh, heart transplants. I think we've got that, Leanne. I think that was the 60s.
Tick.
So I was thinking about another one after the show yesterday, and that would be one where you could take certain features of social media, make them happen in real life. Like you could block someone, for example. Like if someone is coming towards you, but you block them, they actually have to like... Like it's almost as if you've got this cube of space around you that they can't enter, and they're coming to talk to you. And
all these bricks start, go, bah, bah, bah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Bah, bah, bah. It actually blocks them from fucking seeing you. I'd love that. So that's one thing we could wish for.
Ooh, imagine canceling people.
Ooh, and they actually like dissolve in front of you.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that would be awful in some ways. Because you'd see like really, really puerile, stupid people canceling each other all over. And then they'd end up being the only person left in their world. Because they wouldn't actually be able to get rid of you. In your world, that you would stop existing in their world. But they would, ultimately, those kinds of people would end up completely on their own. So maybe it would be a good thing. Maybe it would, because then they'd learn how awful they are and how it's not so much about what upsets them in the outside world, but
give
how much
them a lesson.
How much the rest of the world doesn't deserve them, right? There we go.
For sure.
All right. Well, have you got any ideas for the weekend? Anything fun happening on your side?
I'm gonna get a haircut. I was thinking the other day.
Oh, I was thinking that. I was thinking that too. My God, you need a haircut.
Men, haircuts to men are huge, right?
What do you mean?
It's like, firstly, you have them very frequently. Secondly, if you haven't had one in like 4 weeks, it's like, oh my God, got to get my hair cut.
No.
Women let their hair grow for like a year.
No, really, it's the opposite. No, first of all, men's haircuts, I went for one yesterday. I went for one yesterday. I had to think about that.
You see?
250 Rand. How much
I
is
went
your,
before COVID.
How much? Oh, my God. You've really... Since COVID, you haven't
let
had a haircut.
Go.
Yeah.
No, I cut my own hair, and then I had a hairdresser
you
cut
You cut your own hair, you psychopath.
I did during COVID. It was so Jesus. Long. I watched... If you watch Brad Mondo...
Yeah.
A really good hairdresser and very entertaining
you
on YouTube.
Cut your own hair, you're terrible.
And he put out a tutorial on how to cut your own hair during COVID.
Yeah.
Because we weren't allowed. Don't you remember there were even those videos of people in England putting their hair through the post flap on their front doors so the hairdresser could cut it?
Yeah, and that is outrageous. So you didn't leave your house and you cut your own hair and you think that this is perfectly okay and normal. You know who you remind me of? You're like Miss Havisham from that...
Havisham?
Don't you remember Miss Havisham?
Remember Mrs. Bouquet, who was spelled Bucket.
No, Miss Havisham from the famous book, what was it called? Charles Dickens, Great Expectations. Miss Havisham. Oh, yeah. You remember she's the old woman who was like... mourning her husband, and she never left her house, and she was this real grumpy old. Don't you remember? I'll show you a picture of her.
There was
you're about to be horrified because this is what you're going to end up like if you stay at home. Don't you know? Get your hair cut.
You
by
feel like saying this is what you are like.
Yeah, look. Yeah. That's you. You're an old crone called Miss Havisham.
She's so suspicious of everything.
So here's the actual description of her. She's a character. She was a wealthy spinster who once jilted at the altar insists on wearing her wedding dress for the rest of her life. She lives in a ruined mansion with her adopted daughter, Estella. Dickens describes her as looking like the witch of the place.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's...
Although she's been portrayed in film versions as very elderly, Dickens' own notes indicate that she's only in her mid-30s. It is indicated that long seclusion without sunlight has aged her. This is you.
Forget those athletes who don't put on sunscreen and run under the African sun.
Right. Yes.
This woman is aged within days.
Oh my God. All right, that's you, Miss Havisham. All right.
That's a wake up call.
I should hope so. Yes, I should hope so. Absolutely. All right. Well, it's 7 o'clock. We'll come back with a whole bunch more, and we've got plenty to talk about. We're also going to be joined by Shamila Miller, who is a South African actress appearing in various film and TV productions. She's fantastic. She's also a friend of mine. And I thought when she was finally nominated, she was finally recognized for a brilliant talent, it was a good idea to get her on the show. So she also listens to the show sometimes. So she knows who everybody is. And I'm glad to have her join. Yes, terrific. She'll be on in just a short while with us. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com on a Friday morning. Woo! Hooray! Yippee! Woo! Ah. CliffCentral.com.